This material is subject to copyright. No unauthorized recording, editing, copying, or distribution is permitted without the consent of the Economic Research Council. All rights reserved. For more information, visit www.ercouncil.org. Audio lectures by the Economic Research Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure on behalf of the Economic Research Council to welcome you to the Royal Geographical Society and the annual boom or bust property discussion. And everyone has an opinion on property, but tonight we've got well-informed opinion on property. Hopefully some of it's divergent, but having spoken to them and listened to them before, perhaps not. So, first up, we have Peter Rollings, Managing Director, or in charge of Marsh & Parsons. He is the agent's agent, and he's done incredibly well over the years. And in actual fact, I think he was made an honorary fellow of the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors for his services to the property industry, and there aren't that many of those. So first up will be Peter giving us the agent's viewpoint of what's happening in the market. We then have Charlie Anningworth, founder of Property Vision, and he's, dare I say it, one of the great delights I have every few months is reading his market comment. One in particular was about lemmings. I won't go into it, but it was very amusing, and I chuckled for at least 30 seconds. Anyway, Charlie, being a buying agent, will give us the buying agent's perspective. So we have a selling agent's perspective, a buying agent's perspective. We will then go to Paul Mathadian, who is at Regis. He has 30,000 freeholds, so he's got a fair interest in what's going on in the market, buying the property, or looking at the long-term investment potential. So he's going to give us his viewpoint, which will be very interesting. Last but by no means least, it really gives me great pleasure to welcome Lucien Cook. It is fair to say, without Lucien and his colleague Yolanda Barnes, there wouldn't really be any residential research. They have, I was going to say single-handedly, double-handedly, created a huge and very, I think, well-established research team, and that literally every time you open the Telegraph, the Financial Times, Lucien and Yolanda and the rest of their team are actually there commenting and raising the profile of Savills. So we have Lucien finishing off, giving us the in-depth analytical viewpoint. So is the market going to sail on serenely, or are we looking at stormy times ahead? Without further ado, over to Peter.
Thank you very much. Right, the agent's view, always the least popular guy on the panel, but I'm going to do my best to tell you a bit about what I think. I think what I'd like to do first is just to show you an indication of where we are. So what I'd like to think is that we have 25 offices across London, and I get a really good flavour of exactly what's happening in the market. I don't sit in my ivory tower. I actually get out there and really get under the skin and feel what's happening in the offices, and I do that weekly. So I get what's going on. What I'd like to do is start with just a brief look back at last year. The first 3 months of last year were the most extraordinary I think I've ever seen in any market. From a personal point of view, we saw the market going completely mad. I was terrified about what was happening. Prices were going up by the week. We were seeing, from our point of view, unrealistic and unbelievable prices being achieved in the first 3 months of last year. And frankly, I was extremely concerned about what was going on. Then we had MMR. MMR, the Mortgage Market Review, I'm sure you all know, did what it was intended to do. It absolutely put a stop to that market, and very, very quickly. So by April, May, this time last year, the market had slowed very rapidly. We'd seen ridiculous price growth, in my view, unsustainable price growth, come back to some sort of normality. But then that normality carried on a straight and arguably downward line in some areas, simply due to the fact that to borrow money after the Mortgage Market Review became immensely more difficult. It was like a real contraction. And then since then, the lenders have released a little bit. And now it's getting back to normality. My view is the market really peaked in about March last year, 2014. And in most areas of London that we cover, we haven't seen the highs of that market again. So everyone looks at the market and says, oh, central London's going like a steam train. It's actually not. In my view, we haven't seen price growth in central London for about 18 months, maybe 2 years. In some areas, of course, and in some streets and some pockets, but generally, we haven't seen price growth. And in some parts of London that did benefit exponentially from that mad first 3 months of 2014, we haven't seen prices to match those prices we achieved then, and I don't think we will for a while. I think there was some crazy prices being paid there. This is how we look at prime central London. We look at prime central London, basically Kensington and Chelsea and Westminster. From our point of view, I'm sure Lucien will have other points, but of the Savills point of view, but from our point of view, that's what we think. And we've got 11 offices in Kensington, Chelsea and Westminster. So that's from our data that we produce on a regular basis, that's prime central London to us. Prime central London, as I've just said, we don't think's done much. What we call emerging prime or outer prime London, the bit round the outside, has actually done, I think, particularly well. It, as I said, went like a steam train for the first 3 months of last year. The previous year in Clapham and Balham, which are areas that perhaps some of you don't go too much, some of you do. Clapham and Balham the previous year grew by 22 and 26%, as far as we're concerned, in terms of prices. So maybe you're going to tell me it had a bit of catching up to do. It caught up in a major way. And the first 3 months of last year, it grew 6 or 7, 8% in that first 3 months. So that's why I thought something's got to give here, and it was that. So our view is, our data shows that Balham and Clapham so far this year are year-on-year down by 5 and 6% respectively. So it is coming back to some sort of normality in that area, which is, I think, healthy. There's more stock in the market now. We hear on Rightmove and Zoopla that there's not much stock on. Well, in London, we believe there's a lot more stock on than there has been for a while, and that is countered by buyers. So what we do is we look at the amount of buyers for the stock in the market, and it gives us a good indication. Some commentators poo-poo this. It's a very, I agree, it's a very blunt way of looking at it, but you can get a really good flavour of actually what's going on with the market. Obviously, if I walk into an office and they've had two buyers registered in the last week and they've got 120 properties, the market's not going very well. But we can get a good flavour now, and you'll see I estimate what is going to happen in the next 3 to 4 months in terms of buyers, and I think that a healthy register of buyers is around about 15 buyers per available property. I think the election is obviously was the big news this year. And as agents, I am programmed to think positively. I never think negatively, and I always look on the bright side. So you can imagine me being up at 4 o'clock in the morning on the night of the election, dancing around the house, having a lot of fun and thinking, wow, this is going to be great. Isn't it fantastic? Unfortunately, a few of my clients thought the same. And on the Friday morning, there were some calls to the offices saying, fantastic news, let's put the price up. And that did happen. If you'd asked me this time last week what the election had done, I'd have said not a lot. We were disappointed with the euphoria following the election, and there was euphoria in London, especially selling property, no mansion tax, etc., etc. Just in the last week, I have seen a marked step change in what's going on in the market. Buyers who probably were outside the market have come into the market in the last 3 to 4 weeks, and we have a saying in the business: we sell to old buyers old stock. New buyers need to be educated. Obviously, people coming into the market aren't going to make a decision like that. They need to be educated. It takes 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, maybe sometimes much, much longer, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. But it's a minimum of 3 weeks. And we've seen that flood of buyers into the market, and we've seen them being educated, and we've seen them actually now starting to transact. So We had an extraordinary week last week with the green business. So that tells me, it shows me that across London as a whole, it is going very well. Prime central London is still a tough place to be. So it's not across London as a whole. Sorry, forgive me. It's round the outside is strong. Central London is just starting to get going. I believe there's a disconnect at the moment between buyers' aspirations and sellers' aspirations. There is no pressure on sellers to sell. We have low interest rates. We have a very benign economy now. We have 5 years of one government. So there's no pressure. So frankly, again, in prime central London, where there's no issues, a majority of people own their own properties. They don't have mortgages. Then there's no issue. And there's no pressure. And quite frankly, agents aren't brave enough to disabuse them of this false thought that property prices are going up the whole time. So we need to be braver. Now, the reason we're not braver is because when we do it, you tell us, thank you very much, I'm going to go and try another agent. So we need to be careful with that. There are areas that are outperforming other areas. Pimlico at the moment is going through a really good time. We think we're up 5% year on year. And as I said, we think Balham and Clapham are down. To my mind, that means value. And certainly the lettings market down there is extraordinary. There is so much going on. Lettings in general, there's been year-on-year growth of about 5%. Yields are steady as far as we're concerned, at about 2.5% to 3%. I see that price going up. I don't see the yield changing. So the lettings market, one-bed flats and three-bed flats, is incredibly strong. Two-bed flats, there's a lot of them. And if you're investors and looking at that, I would say that one and threes are better for you. Boom or bust is the question of this. I think there's some good news and there's some concerning news. The good news is stable fixed government, five year fixed term, I think is great. Low interest rates, I see no sign of them going up, and mortgage rates, if you can get it. And there is many more mortgage products in the market now, so there is good chances of getting it, but income multiples are still a major issue. Low inflation. We've seen inflation tick up to 0.1% today. I remember it a lot more than that. The regeneration of London is going on apace. It is extraordinary. The construction starts in Q1 this year were double what they were in Q1 last year, 177% up on the quarterly average. The total units under construction across eight regeneration zones are 84,000 units under construction. London has never seen, since 2007, such a major growth spurt. So that fills me with hope. The bad news, stamp duty. Major problem. Major problem. 12% now. I always used to say that the reason UK property does well and has a liquid market is, firstly, I'm going to tell you that UK estate agents fees are ridiculously cheap, and they are. They genuinely are. And that, coupled with low transaction taxes, which 10 years ago were 1%, meant that it was possible for people to trade up and trade down and trade the market regularly and constantly. 12% plus our fees, plus moving costs. I would reckon it costs you 15% now to transact at the upper end of the market, which is utterly ridiculous and, in my view, will kill that market. It'll slow dramatically. I believe that the government will change this, principally because they'll be hit very, very hard in their pockets. But it will kill this market. I believe they'll change it. My gut feel is they will reduce that and they will add into what is a mansion tax by any other name, which is increased council tax. My view is they'll have one or two more bans in council tax, and that's how they'll raise property finance. But it'll only happen, it won't happen quickly, it'll happen over the next year to 18 months minimum, when they learn that actually they're not making the money from stamp duty and they are killing that market. The last thing, as far as I'm concerned, is I was asked to provide something that I think will be a major issue to the market, and that is a British exit from Europe. I think that'll be a disaster for London, and I would not wish it upon us at all. Thank you very much.
Now, Charlie.
Thank you. I agree with a lot of what Peter said. The thing that's been captured everybody's imagination the last few months has been a possible mansion tax. And since that disappeared with the election, there's been a huge amount of, we think, incredible optimism around from the estate agents. They've been talking the market up, saying the price is going to go up by 20%. And lots of people were saying in the immediate aftermath of the election that they were going to see 20% increases and you had to exchange now or that's not going to happen. I think this has been... I think the thing that's really holding back this market, and I agree with Peter completely on this, is the stamp duty. I mean, this is now becoming a major amount of money, and it's becoming such a major amount of money that people are now beginning to talk about it in price per square foot. So people are saying, for instance, on a £10 million house selling at £3,000 a square foot, that you're paying £325 a square foot for stamp duty. Now, that's quite a change in the way people look at things. And, you know, if you take, again, as you mentioned, Peter, you know, if you took a £6 million house, you've got a total cost there of probably £750,000 of cost to pay out of that. And you can't get a mortgage against that. This comes out of your equity. So these are serious amounts of money. And I think this is actually holding the market right back. Interestingly, there has been this self-fulfilling prophecy with the agents, because I saw today that Rightmove say that the asking prices, and remember, Rightmove only deal with asking prices, it's not sale prices, the asking prices are up 28% in the last month, 28%. I think this is going quite a long way ahead of what the market is going to take, and it's going to be quite a long time, probably a year, before buyers' and sellers' aspirations come into line. I think if we took a more general thing, we're seeing, I think, two Londons in terms of supply. There is the older London, Prime Central, all those areas, i.e. older buildings generally, but obviously in that you do have some new development. And I think what you're seeing there, and we've seen this over the last 10 years, is the supply of property is going down and has halved since, say, about 2007. It used to be about the number of transactions used to be about 8,000 a year, it's now about 4,000 a year. So, and this is because the profile of the buyers in London are more international. And when they buy, they're not going up a ladder, they're staying and they're holding it for good. And they keep it for their children and they hang on to it. So I think that process is going to continue. I think the supply, because of this thing, is going to get less and less. So I suspect that that's going to be something that's going to hold prices up in that main area. If you go out to the Crane country, if you go south of the river, you go around the place and look at all the developments going on, it's very difficult to get a picture of kind of what the totality is. You can see these cranes going up everywhere, but it's quite difficult to get the whole picture. And we commissioned some research on this, and we were trying to sort of get a sensible stab at which was sort of central London. And what we did is we did it by postcode, and we said everything from up to Earl's Court, along to as far north as Regent's Park, across to Tower Bridge, and including the whole South Bank. So it's quite a large area. But there are 54,000 new units in the planning process. This is only units of over five units. So there are 54,000 units in the planning process, which will be coming on stream in the next 5 years or so. So is this a lot? I mean, you know, is this a big number, or is it something that's going to take into its stride? Well, we also looked at what we got Lunres, who have the best statistics on this, about, you know, how many units are sold a year in Prime Central. And this is a slightly smaller sample than what I just talked about. It wouldn't take in a lot of the South Bank, and it wouldn't take in up to probably as far as the Tower Bridge. But it's about 3,900 a year. So that's a big gap, you know, 4,000 to 52,000 to 54,000. I mean, that's a lot of new supply. And I think that a lot of this is concentrated, and I think you're going to see quite a big effect on this, on the rental market in particular. Because if you turn up to someone like Nine Elms, and you can see this just by getting on the train out of Waterloo, they're packing them in there, and there is going to be quite a lot of people chasing very few tenants there. So I think you're going to see a lot of the yields that people are working on are going to be seen to be pretty ambitious. So, It's also quite interesting seeing what's happening in, you see a result, a lot of these things appearing in other markets. The office market at the moment is just going gangbusters because nearly 5 million square feet of offices has disappeared in the last couple of years, all being turned into residential. You've only got to go down to Victoria to see what land securities are doing there. And so you're seeing these high residential prices coming out in other markets like the office market. I agree with Peter about the MMR, the Mortgage Market Review. I think that's had a much bigger effect than people think. What it focuses on, and it's quite interesting, is it's focused entirely on your ability to pay it based on your salary. It has nothing to do with your other assets, and so you can be a multimillionaire with lots of unencumbered assets, and they don't give a damn about it. They'll only lend to you against your salary. So this has been a major holdback in the market for people who want to borrow, who are asset rich but still want to borrow money. But it's also meant a lot of people who want to borrow can't. And I think that's definitely, especially at the lower end, going to be making things difficult. The other thing, which I think is a potential thing on the horizon, if you are a buy-to-let investor, is I can't imagine the government letting the tax relief on your rental income carry on. Because there's obviously a big anomaly there. You know, if you're a buy-to-let investor, you can offset your income against your mortgage, but you can't do that if you're a private investor. So one of the ways in which the Chancellor could easily help the first-time buyer take 14 billion, because that's what it's costing the Treasury, back into the Treasury, is to cancel that in some way or another, and that might be over a period of time, but I can't really see that particular golden goose sitting there and the Chancellor leaving that one on the shelf. I just add a little bit about the country market because we have a country business as well. And that's been quite a grim 5 years for us. It's not been an easy market as that's basically stayed stationary and the London market has boomed away. That's changing. What we're seeing at the moment is what we saw over the last five, if we go back to say 2008, we always used to say that very roughly you traded a nice house in Scarsdale Villas in Kensington for a nice rectory in Hampshire. That was the deal. You could now buy two rectories. That's how big the valuation gap has become. And that's starting to bounce back now. And I think you're seeing people, and as that's happening, a lot of people who were too frightened to move out of London because they thought they'd never get back in can now take advantage of that pricing anomaly. And so I think we're seeing definitely that market coming up. Otherwise, London still remains a place to be, and people want to be. But I think this stamp duty is going to be a game changer. And I think that, as Peter alluded to, I think the Laffer curve will come into effect. You know, that people, you can take so much money, but after a while, you start to make less money because people don't move as much. There must be every incentive to either go upwards or dig downwards rather than move when you've got those sort of costs. So I think set fair for the time being, but watch it.
Thank you. So I must say I do feel quite sort of in this illustrious building. I feel like Ranulph Fiennes maybe sort of having to take you on a journey through the Gobi Desert. But what I hope to do is just talk very quickly and take you on my experience of the property market for the last 10 years. And my story is slightly interesting in that I came into the property market from the police service. I was a detective. So I've witnessed in the last 10 years the hubris, in relation to the crash in 6 and 7 prior to the crash, the financial constraints thereafter, and the gathering momentum of the market since then. And to bring us up to where we are now. Just to give you a bit of context on who the Regis Group are, we are a specialist residential investors, and we have two sort of core areas of business. The first one is we've got a mature private rented sector platform. We own about 1,000 units, predominantly in London and the South East. And we also have a pretty large freehold ground rent portfolio. And that portfolio stretches from, it's always basically all across the country, so it's down from the West Country right up to the borders of Scotland. And so it's quite interesting, really, to see how the market has changed in those sectors in the last couple of years. And to give you a good example, really, particularly in the rented sector, we have a portfolio of about 400 units that's London-centric, and we had it valued in 2012, and we had it revalued in 2014, and it had increased, you know, as Peter mentioned, it had increased by 50% just in 2 years. And, you know, as investors, that's great for us. You know, it's fantastic. It's a private company. We're like one of the landed estates. We buy and we hold. But I think the problem is that for people that are looking to buy, first-time buyers, owner-occupiers trying to upsize, then that pace of momentum of the market has really, you know, it gives the wider public such a difficult time to actually buy property. And as has been alluded to, you know, the mortgage market review in 2014 hasn't really helped that. And I think I've got a slide here. I think it's quite an interesting one. I came across this as I was researching for this talk, and it's, you know, it's obviously England. Apologies to people from Wales if it's not included, but that's nothing personal. And it's average. It's the average salary and the ratio to house prices. The key is, if you see the dark red, that's in excess of 10 times the average salary of the house price. So the left-hand chart is 2000, and 2013 is the right-hand chart. And it's quite, you know, it's quite frightening, really, to see the, you know, if you look at London, everywhere sort of east of the city is now in excess of 10 times the average salary for someone. So this has caused a massive issue in terms of affordability, and it's almost strange, really, to think how on earth has there been such a pace of price rise when property is so unaffordable. And I think the reason, as I'll touch on later, is it's a lot to do with the supply of property, and I'll touch on planning in a short moment. But for us as investors, we've seen, and with a rental portfolio, I've gone from standing in an auction room, buying property, bidding property to rent, and being able to pick up properties very cheaply, to dealing in a really, really sophisticated market. We all know that, you know, private rented sector has grown from, you know, I think it's grown by 80% in the last 10 years, and predicted to grow again another 25% in the next 5 years. For us as investors, we try and aggregate and buy new property, and we found, for example, in the last year, we bid on two pretty sizable private rented portfolios. One was national, and one was home counties based. We did an awful lot of research on the national one, and historically we would have been bidding against a number of sort of traditional property companies. On these occasions, we were bidding against European institutions, American institutions, insurance companies in the UK, US private equity houses, all coming to the table with a view to, you know, to gain a presence in the UK. And so we've gone from sort of having being able to walk around the garden of the UK and buy property along with a number of other companies very similar to us, all knowing exactly the sort of prices we're going to pay, to entering into a completely different marketplace. And I think in terms of, you know, the capital values, we're certainly seeing that the, you know, if I want to use an analogy, say, of a pot bubbling, you know, the last few years, we've certainly seen that pot bubble the last few months. It's simmered, and as Peter said, in terms of the election, I thought that there would be a very, you know, until just recently, I thought there would be no bounce back, but again, we're starting to see this pot bubbling away. I personally predict a sort of 5% growth rate across the UK. That's blended across the UK for both rental and property values, but I'll caveat that and say that certainly within London and some of the northern cities, growth will be faster than that. I'm a great fan, as I was saying to the guys earlier, I'm a real fan of the area, and I think the map shows it quite nicely, that sort of East City corridor. You know, I'm a real fan of Whitechapel and the Tower Hamlets area. I mean, if I'd have had my time again, I'd have invested heavily there, and if anybody wants to speak to me afterwards about a joint venture, I'm sure we can do something. Because it's an area where it's very close to the tech hub of Shoreditch, you know, Clerkenwell, Old Street. There was a front page of the Standard last night talking about it being the sort of the third largest after Silicon Valley and New York. And what I've noticed, because we've got some businesses in the States, certainly what I've noticed over there is Silicon Valley is giving way. The prices are so strong. There's been a lot of migration to Austin in Texas and Salt Lake City in Utah. Now, obviously, I'm not going to say the same is going to happen here, but I do think there's going to be a migration along the East City corridor. So, you know, a tip for you investors, if you want that is an area where I would strongly suggest investing. So, and moving on from that, talking about the tech world, and we've spoken about Rightmove and the high asking prices at the moment that Rightmove are reporting. But I do think that these platforms, and again, it's something we've seen in the States, is that the platforms are going to become even more sophisticated. The search criteria is going to become more sophisticated. There's a site in the States called Real Scout, if you want to look it up. The level of granular detail to be able to search for properties, and it all comes back to the sophistication of the market. And I also, if there's another slide here for another company, that this is another US company, and it's really interesting because, you know, we're talking about the deregulation of pensions and people being able to sort of, you know, invest their money outside of a pension scheme, and a lot of buy-to-let investors. This is a platform that puts landlords and renters together online and allows landlords to collect rent, people to pay rent. I don't think there's anything like this in the UK at the moment, but I'd certainly watch this space. But, yeah, this is great, and we're talking about the rise of the rental sector, and it's, as I say, it's great for us as a big landlord, but it doesn't get away from the continuing problem of supply. And for me, you know, the planning system is a key issue in the UK. It breaks my heart then to feel that we feel as if we won an Olympic medal every time we get a planning permission for a development. And I'm being serious because it's such an onerous task, and I'm sure if there are people here, they've experienced it as well. I think there was a survey last year from the British Property Federation, and the sort of government turnaround time is circa 13 weeks for a major development. The survey was showing that most of those developments are taking 25 weeks, certainly in London and Manchester, to go through the planning system. And we find, you know, we'll have an application in for a small development, the planning officer will have left, they'll be off sick, and then there's no continuity. And for me, it's really simple. You know, every single development that we have, every bit of work that we're doing, you know, needs a planning decision. My view is, you know, more officers, more decisions, more development, more supply. Simple as that. So I'll touch on the final thing, as obviously we've been asked to talk about something that's on the horizon that may throw the market into a little bit of turmoil. And it's been mentioned, you know, it's the same thing, you know, it's Brexit, the EU referendum. Again, you can see the pace just since the election. You know, the media coverage is starting to, you know, talking about the whip for the Conservatives. When is it going to be? 2016, 2017. And it's certainly something that, you know, we were very relieved when the government were returned with a majority. There was more certainty. And already we can see that lack of certainty again. Talk of people like Deutsche Bank coming out of the city. They've got 7,000 staff. It will affect the rental market. So my view is that that's probably the one for us to be very concerned about. So, thank you.
And now for Lucia.
Excellent, thank you. So, a fantastic set of presentations that we've had so far. But if I was you, I think, frankly, I would be perhaps just a little bit disappointed because there haven't been that many charts and graphs. This is, after all, the Economic, Social and Research Council. I have 10 minutes to rectify that, and believe you and me, we're going to have a real crack at it. But before I get into that, let's have a look at some images, because I think a picture tells 1,000 words. And these are my images for the market at the moment. We've got that bloody election out of the way, so we can forget about all of that uncertainty. What does it mean going forward? Well, as we've heard previously, there are some people who would tell you that that will mean a stampede of activity back into the market as people pile back in with reckless abandon to catch all of this marvellous house price growth, which is inevitably going to occur because we've got low interest rates. But there is a doubting Thomas in the room. And that doubting Thomas in the room is the bank manager. because the single biggest change which we will see to the UK housing market in the period post-credit crunch is the implementation of mortgage market review. And forget Tamara and Quentin in southwest London. Think about the normal people who don't drive Audi A4 all roads, who are looking to get on the housing ladder. For those guys, mortgage market review caps the amount they can borrow, restricts their ability to get on the housing market, and will act as a drag on house price growth and possibly transactions going forward. So look, I've done some images. That's enough of that. Let's get into the charts. Let's start with a cracker. Nice and simple. 3 months on 3 month house price growth. If you are one of the people who looks at monthly price movements according to any of the indices, then you need to go and have a medical checkup now. You know, the men in white coats will be along to see you shortly. Absolutely insane. If you believe that prices have gone up 28% in 1 month, according to Rightmove, then you need to be taken outside of here and shot in public, frankly. We try and take something which gives an indication of where the market sits now. So we don't look at 12-month growth necessarily, because that tells you as much as what was going on 11 months ago as what happened last month. We like this 3 month on 3 month house price growth measure. This is taken for the whole of the UK, and it shows the insanity that Peter was talking about at the beginning of 2014. And you can then see, just from that period, the extent to which we have seen a progressive fall in growth of UK national house prices, which significantly occurred well before election uncertainty, and therefore was definitely something to do with mortgage market review. Now, if I showed you this slide with a Halifax index, it wouldn't look the same. Why have I taken nationwide? Because I tend to believe it. Why do I believe it? Because what we tend to know is that transactions and house prices often follow a similar trajectory. So you've had house prices, you need the other side of the equation, two charts on one slide, you are getting your value for money. You know, I cannot believe there are seats empty at the back. Here we go. So this looks at annual transaction levels across the UK, and importantly, it also looks at mortgage approvals, and it looks at mortgage completions for house purchase. There is a big gap between these two lines. Cash within this market, in a mortgage-regulated market, is king, and that's why Tamara and Quentin are still pretty happy and continue to fill up the ADA full road, despite the fact that it never goes above 8 miles an hour through southwest London. So cash is really, really key, but it shows you two other things. It's beginning to show you that impact of mortgage market review. It's beginning to show you that that upward trajectory in house prices has flattened off. Mortgage approvals has come off as a consequence. People are definitely finding it harder to get hold of the same level of mortgage finance which they would have done previously. And I think that will be a really significant driver of the market over the period of the next 5 years. Those are the charts. Let's step it up a gear. You know, I thought, Paul, your effort with maps was superb. Peter, I thought your effort with a graph was pretty mediocre, if I'm perfectly honest. But at least you had a go, and you know, and that's pretty good. So, okay, let's have a look at some maps. There we go. This is according to the Land Registry Index. I like the Land Registry Index. It's a repeat sales index. This looks at where prices are relative to their peak, apparently in 2008. Why 2008? It's a lagging market. What does this show you? Well, it shows you the extent to which London has outperformed the rest of the market in that period, and the degree to which that has occurred. According to the Nationwide, prices in London are double the UK average. According to the Nationwide, London house prices have been outperforming the UK for 10 years. In previous market cycles, they've done it for between 8.5 and 9.5. And we've never been at twice the UK average. So London generally is looking fairly fully priced. And that means when you start applying those things of mortgage market review, the pliers tighten a little bit more for the mortgage market. What's then occurring in terms of that? So that's what's happened in generality. What's happening recently? Well, this is exciting for me because this is not annual house price growth. It's not 3 months on 3 months. This is revolutionary. This is why Savills are here and not Knight Frank. What we're going to do here is have a look at 9 month house price growth. How good is that? So there's 9 month house price growth. So this is post mortgage market review. The dark red areas are where you've got the strongest growth. There are still blue areas in there. There's some oddities in there. Somerset, you know, the county, God's finest county, and the Isle of Wight are still blue within that map. Now that's something to do with the fact they're lagging markets. The difficulty we have with those markets is we don't know if it's a 6 month lag or a 15 year lag. It's simple. If it's culturally, we know.
But when it comes to house prices, it's much, much, much more difficult. But generally, you can see, you can start to see there that there are parts of the UK, Wales and the north of England, where prices continue not to rise. And the level of house price growth, whilst spread more widely across the UK, is not necessarily as strong as some people would have you believe. Well, you can also start, if you've got the eyesight of a fighter pilot, you can see that something's going on in London. And this, I think, is a real symptom of back-end cycle growth of London. And if you, all of the light areas there are areas where house price growth is currently weakest, according to Landreg, and K&C is in negative territory, according to Landreg. I noticed those are almost exactly the areas where Peter's got offices. But we'll move on from there. But what you're beginning to see there is a mixed picture across London, and you're starting to see the house price growth that's occurring in the outer boroughs, and that is typical of late cycle growth. What about affordability? Well, look, interest rates are low. Interest rates have never been lower, and they continue to be on a downward trajectory. What we also know from this chart is if you have a low deposit and you take advantage of some of the government schemes, the cost of your finance is significantly higher. So despite the fact that you've got more of these mortgage products available, they are relatively expensive compared to those people who've got a healthy deposit. So that would indicate that there's a bit of capacity for house price growth. And I think as interest rate expectations move out, there is a bit. But what you've got to remember is that the Mortgage Market Review stress tests that affordability. And it says you have to look at 300 basis points on top of the prevailing mortgage rate, and then we'll work out whether you can afford it. And what that does for UK first-time buyers and for London first-time buyers is puts levels of affordability at a level which is more stretched than it was in 2007, added to which, of course, you've got to have a capital repayment mortgage now. So despite the fact that those interest rate expectations have come off, the impact of Mortgage Market Review really having an impact on the amount that you're able to borrow, which could be a drag on house price growth. And that's only one thing. I suppose the really big one, affordability now takes two forms. The first one is your ability to service your mortgage. The other one is your ability to get it. So this looks at deposits for first-time buyers. This is the average deposit for first-time buyers. In the UK, it's 26 grand. In London, the average deposit for a first-time buyer is £67,000. You know, if you're going to get that kind of finance, you know, you've got limited options. You can continue to live with your parents until you are well into your 50s, right? Or you can buy a balaclava and a shotgun. That's going to work. Or my favourite option is you just offer to do the Sunday roast repeatedly, pop something in, they go greyer and greyer and greyer, but your inheritance accelerates, and at that point you can raise the deposit to get on the housing market. But that is a massive, massive barrier. And that tells you that this is not one-dimensional. This is not just about prices. This is also about accessibility to the market. And that is reflected in this one. That's my favourite chart. So that looks at transaction levels in the year to the end of the first quarter 2015, and it compares it to the 10 years pre-credit crunch, and it shows you that even prior to the credit crunch, numbers of first-time buyers were falling quite dramatically as you had affordability issues and people finding it difficult to get on the housing market. And they've had plenty of government support, so actually they're not doing too bad at the moment, not doing as well as the guys at the other end, the cash buyers. Cash buyers are having a really fine party. They're higher. Their levels of transactions are higher than they were pre-credit crunch. The ones who are getting squeezed are the ones in the middle, the home movers, finding it very difficult to trade up the housing ladder, and instead, generally, they're getting extensions done. If you're in some of Peter's markets, they'll do something pretty tasteless in the basement. They've probably already done something pretty tasteless in the attic, but they're squeezing as much square footage as they can out of that market because just remortgaging or taking on more mortgage debt is more difficult, particularly if they haven't seen some house price growth. So fundamentally, the shape of the market has occurred. For those first-time buyers and for those second steppers, has Mortgage Market Review had a difference? Well, this chart tells me it does, because this looks at average loan-to-income ratios for first-time buyers and home movers. And if you look at the period post-implementation of Mortgage Market Review, it has started to be capped. And that means that price growth amongst that mortgage market will be limited by Mortgage Market Review and the multiplier of mortgage which you can get, and could be a drag. In terms of great charts, you know, this is a cracker. This is the RICS. This is much like Peter's chart, but a little bit more complicated. So we try and keep the mystique and magic. So this is a measure of supply and demand in the market. The red line there is demand. The blue line is supply. The gap between the two of them will give you a lead indicator as to what's happened next. And if you look at the UK, what the RICS is telling us at the moment is a lack of supply in the market is likely to be a catalyst for a bit more house price growth, perhaps later down the line. But it takes time for that to feed through. I only put that one up there, frankly, because it excites me. You know, no one else gets it, but for me, you know, it's the reason I come to do these things. So that's an absolute belter. What does that mean in terms of house price growth? Well, let's look at some regional house price growth across the UK. That's what we think. I think amongst the research houses of the agents, we're the only one that will tell you that the mainstream London market will be the weakest performing market over the period of the next 5 years. But the brutal reality is that it has had such a prolonged bull run that it is much more exposed to interest rate rises as and when they occur, and Mortgage Market Review acting as a drag on that house price growth. The markets that will benefit from a very strong London economy are much more likely to be the markets within London's hinterland, which have struggled to keep pace with London to date. And then generally it just takes a little bit longer for that house price growth to get up to the northeast and the northwest and Scotland more generally. So that's that. I think I'm pretty much done, but that's only part of the picture. The other part of the picture is you can't look at house prices in isolation. You've got to look at a bigger picture. You've got to look at transaction levels. And these are our forecasts for transaction levels. 2015 will be wrong. We've overcooked that one. But we think even over a five-year period with these constraints and lack of accessibility to the housing market, transaction levels are not going to get back to much more than 80% of the pre-crunch credit reality. What does that mean? Well, that means that the generational divide in housing will widen, the way that we occupy housing will widen, and you'll start to see some significant divergences in terms of how people occupy property in different age groups. And that generation gap is probably one of the biggest challenges which we face in the housing market going forward. That's me done. Thank you. Very much.